So we good? We ready? Okay. Hey, I do what I said a minute ago about coming here and ministering. Howdy knows, and Ricky knows, and Kenny knows. Kenny really knows. I could really share with some things. Kenny really knows. Because when you're in evangelistic ministry, you're ministering to a lot of people that they got no idea what you're talking about. They're so, they don't know. And so when you get to go somewhere and minister to people, Corey, that are just, they just pull it out of you, and they're fed, they've read, they've studied, they've prayed, they're ready, you know, it's just a lot easier to minister than when you walk into places to where they don't know, and they're sitting there and look like just a knot on a log, you know. And that's about all the expression you get, you know. And we're really not, you know, you're not supposed to look at your expression, but it's hard not to sometimes, you know. And you think, oh goodness. And so sometimes in those situations, I'm gonna tell a story on Kenny. So this was, what year was it? What year were we at the Seguin? Caleb was in probably freshman or sophomore in high school, and he's 33, huh? 03, somewhere in there. Anyway, Kenny's doing music for us at our high school rodeos. We're ministering at Gonzales at Region 6. And we just took that over that year. And the first weekend we minister, y'all, I'm talking about, we might as well have been talking to them chairs. And we walk out, Howdy, and Kenny said, that would be about the hardest bunch of people I've ever sang to in my life. He said, we got to do something for next time. So we have these high school rodeos, y'all know, from Corey in London, everybody once a month or every 2 weeks sometimes. So we had a month. So I prayed and I said, Lord, what do we do? And he said, I want you to have them kids stand up and make a confession before church and get them involved. And so we did. And we had them, and I want y'all to say this with me. Father God, for giving me a spirit of wisdom, for opening the eyes of my understanding, that I might receive from your Holy Spirit today, so I can fulfill my destiny and my life in you. Amen. We had them kids say something like that day. Y'all, it completely changed the whole atmosphere at that high school rodeo. I'd rodeoed with a lot of those kids' parents, and we'd all been to college together before I was born again. And so, if for y'all that's been to college, you know what college life can be like, what trials and temptations you might encounter while you're there. And so a lot of those guys there, as parents, they were totally, they didn't care. You know, they were doing God a favor by having church at the high school rodeo. But we did it that day. And from that day on, them kids came to church excited. I'm talking about they took part. It completely changed the atmosphere. Obedience is everything. Just do what God tells us to do. So the other day, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is like this has been my go-to favorite scripture here lately. You know, I mean, we all know it. This is it. You know, say amen when you're there. I'll give you one more chance. Anybody else there? Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know, and all these things, we're talking about everything that pertains unto life shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, his way of doing things. He wants us to call on him and seek his way of doing things so that everything we need to fulfill our destiny, take care of our family, win people into the kingdom is added unto us. So a few weeks ago, and I really like what you shared, Howdy, when we were praying about being in the school now, and he said every now and then, Atapashata basota de, and he said them kids are like, what language are you speaking? Well, it's been a little over 2 months ago between Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar. I just was caught, just some, you know, I watch them very regularly. I mean, they're my go-to guys on the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. You know, but, you know, we've grown up on them. They're our teachers. They're our mentors and what we've grown up on. Well, Kenneth was sharing about the time he spent praying in the Holy Ghost every day. And he said, before I start my day, that's what I do. And he said, he gave the amount of time God had him do it. Well, Creflo, at the same time, is ministering on the art of being alone with God. And so the Lord impressed upon me, you need to practice a little bit of both of those a little more. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I'd be on the ranch feeding cows, and I'm driving around the pickup by myself, and I don't have a big audience, so it's me and God and them cows. And I'm praying the Holy Ghost a lot, you know, and stuff. But he said, no, I want some one-on-one time, no interference, not listening to the feeder, not looking at the deer. I just want you to get some one-on-one time alone with me praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said, and I want you to watch what's taking place in your life. Y'all, I'm going to get started August the 5th. Is that correct? August the 5th. You know, I'm not going to tell you that I've just seen earth-shaking things happen, but I want to tell you, I want to give you some little analogies, just some little things that God did, okay? The praying in the Spirit and spending the time alone with Him. I'm going to get to those examples in a minute, but I want to read. This is what I said, Lord, what am I preaching about? He said, detoxification. And I figured Joni could help me with this today. Detoxification. I want to read the definition of it. It's a process by which one rids the body and our mind of toxic or unhealthy substances, ideas, mental strongholds, fear, or negative thinking. Did y'all get that? How many health freaks we got in here do all that running and all that stuff and detoxifying the body? Okay? That's a good thing. God wants us to detoxify our mind. And God gave me a prescription for me, okay? So I don't want you to take what God gave Rusty, but what I want you to do is to find some time alone with God and let Him help you get your prescription for a detoxification process, because I want to tell you what, we're entering in a time when you need to know the will of God in everything you're doing. You don't need to be out of the will of God at any time, in any place. People die because they're not listening to the Lord. People, and they weren't supposed to die then. Things happen. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time because they were not listening to the Lord. And God's saying, I want you in the right place at the right time every day, every minute of every day. I've got things for you to do. I've got people that I need you, that I've appointed and anointed you to bring into the kingdom. Every one of us. I don't care where your walk is, that's you. But anyway, God said, I wrote down, how do we do this? And God said, number one was the art of being alone with God. He said, you got to spend time with me. And he said, it's your choice. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I got a lot of scriptures I want to get through, and I'm never very good about going through doing my notes. But I'm going to try really hard, because, you know, the word is life and health and healing to all our flesh. And it's the word that sets us free. It's the word that delivers us and brings us into the fullness that God's got for us. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, let's start in verse 14. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Say, I may do it. It's our choice. Keep thinking about choice. Verse 15, see it? This is God. I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply and the Lord God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. We got a land to possess. Every one of us, we got a land to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Now you say, I'm not worshiping other gods. I'm going to tell you what, we all got all kinds of other gods. We got things out there that steal our time, that steal our finances, that steal our joy, and they're actually other gods that we've put before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we get caught up. I'm going to tell you what, we got so many distractions. One of the biggest things, no, I won't say it. I really want to. one of the biggest deals that's distracting a lot of people, I won't say y'all, a lot of people, and stealing from you time with God, Facebook. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. We have to know his voice in order to be able to obey it. And you got to spend time with someone before you know their voice. You know, I mean, you got people that you hadn't talked to in years and years, but you spent so much time with them at some time in your life. If that phone rings today and they answer, you know exactly who it is. Well, there's a whole lot of people out there. They say, well, how do you hear God? How do you know it's God talking to you? I don't know. Spend time with him. Get alone with him. Listen to him. Say, God, talk to me. And he will. It's not loud sometimes. But so let me give you a little. When I started this, Howdy, I had a water leak. You know, for a guy that ropes and rodeos, plumbing's not real high on your list of activities. And I have a water leak down the pen, since I just told Kathy, I said, what we're going to do is sub-irrigate until it cools off, because I don't want to go down there and sweat and dig in the mud, because it's been leaking for at least a month when I found it. And these pins here, I might have one water line that's this deep, and then the next one might be this deep. So I just kind of, it's sub-irrigating, Kenny. I'm just letting it work. Well, I got a green spot, and all them calves that go down there and graze right there. People sub-irrigate. They do that, don't they? So anyway, I had a little shredding to do down some pens, and this is an old feedlot, y'all, and I have a lot of pens, and I had a lot of water troughs. And I'm down there, and there's about a 6-inch pipe that went over a cutoff down in the ground. And I borrowed a friend of mine's shredder that day. It's an 8-foot shredder, a little bigger, and I forgot about how far it stuck out beside the wheels of the tractor. And so I'm cruising along through there, and I hit that pipe. No big deal. This thing's 3 foot down in the ground. That's where the cutoff is down there. And I hit that pipe. It don't even move it. It dented it, but it don't move it. I didn't think. And so I go on, finish shredding, and a couple days goes by, and I'm headed to the ranch that morning, and the Lord said, when you get back today, this is just an impression, okay, not an audible voice for those that are, just impression, he said, you need to fix this leak up here in the pens. And I'm, Lord, it ain't cooled off yet. And he said, no, today, fix the leak today. So I'm like, yes, sir. So I go take care of things at the ranch, and I come home, Howdy, and I get all my stuff, and this one's only about that deep. I knew that. And so I go down there and I dig it up, get everything done. I don't need water down that direction, so I just cap it off. I go to putting everything up, and I walk by the well house, and I see that the gauge is still, it shouldn't be moving that much. And it was like I got water running somewhere else. So it's Wednesday evening, about an hour before Bible study, that we do there at Hex at the little cafe. And so I jump in something and run down. I'm going through all the pens looking, and I get to that pipe. Ground. So, a little bit. The day I fixed in the other one, I've picked up every size cap except an inch and a half. Now go, but wait, my wife's not come home from work yet. And the Lord said, you better call Kathy and have her get an inch and a half cap. And I did, and that was the size I needed. The Lord will talk to you if you'll listen, if you'll get tuned in. This is little stuff. This don't really matter a whole lot. I mean, it costs a few extra dollars to run the well, but this isn't a life and death situation. And if God is going to demonstrate to us that he'll take care of a water leak for you and show you where it's at, He's going to take care of a whole lot bigger situations in our life as we detoxify our mind, get it uncluttered, and get tuned into what He's got for us to do. He's saying, Lord, I want to show you. I want to be a part of everything, even water leaks in the pens. So I go down there and all that water's flowing out. And the Lord said, see, if you hadn't fixed that one today, you wouldn't have even come down here and checked for weeks, because you don't have to be in this area of the pens. And it had just been flowing and flowing. And this one was 3 foot in the ground. So I called my neighbor, and he came over with the backhoe and dug it up for me. And I didn't need any more down there either, but that was an inch and a half line. I had to cap it off too. But just the point, if I hadn't fixed the one, I wouldn't have known about the other. And that's why the Lord was so adamant about fixing that one that day. Fix this one, because I need to show you where the other leak is. Have we got leaks in our lives that we're not taking care of, that we're allowing the enemy to steal from us? He's saying, I want you to detoxify, get your mind uncluttered, spend time with me. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask Him how long, how much time. If you're not, get baptized in the Holy Ghost so you can pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to throw this out there, but there's a segment of your brain that God created that responds only to tongues, and it's for wisdom and knowledge and knowing His will in all that you do. The more time we spend with the Lord, being alone and praying in the Spirit, the more He's able to reveal to us. Let's set some water here somewhere. It's our choice. What we read just there in Deuteronomy. God said, you choose. God loved us so much, He gave us a choice. It's not a dictatorship. He doesn't want a bunch of robots. He wants people that love Him. And He wants us to respond to what He's got for us to do. You know, we don't have to turn there, but Psalms 139. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. There's not one person born on this earth that God did not know before they were even thought of, before they were formed in the womb. That's why abortion's so wrong. Everyone is created and formed by God back then. He knew us before He formed us in the womb. There's not one accident, we're not going there. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all know these. Y'all are so, but I'm not even, let's see, let's just read the whole first 2 through 11. And take this and get a hold of it. Know this. Let your knower know. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. I stop right there. God's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, but how? Somebody. Through the knowledge of Him. So how do we know Him if we don't spend time with Him? How will we bear fruit with Jesus if we don't spend time with Jesus? Knowledge of Him, He called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We're partakers. We can be partakers of God's divine nature. Now, I told Kathy, Miss Ross, yesterday, we get in last night. We'd been to a little deal yesterday, come in last night. I was tired. It's been a long day. Nothing, no big deal, but it's just, I told her, I said, how can you pray in the Holy Spirit as much as I've been praying lately and be so unloving sometimes? Do you ever get that way? I mean, just like, I don't want to help them right now. I think, you can't do that, Laura. You can't pray that much and be that unloving, but it's possible. It is possible. And God said, you are a partaker of my divine nature. I have created you, and when each one of us got born again, we receive the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. And if we'll spend time with Him, He's doing that daily, because I need a daily dose of it. Because I'm there by myself so much that sometimes when you get around people, you're like, how can they be that ignorant? And you know, it's just our society and the day we live in. We have a lot of distractions. It's not ignorance; it's distractions. We're caught up in distractions, and so therefore if we'll spend the time with the Lord, that one-on-one time, quality time, just spend with you. And I'm not talking about 3 and 4 hours a day, but oh, there's some teachings here right now that's going on that if we realize. How important is this for us to spend the time with the Lord and be thinking on those things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report? That's why it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, think on these things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report unto the obedience of Christ. Cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Who's supposed to do that? All those are verbs that apply to us. He said, you cast down the thoughts. You take every thought captive. You be diligent. You get into this. You choose to spend time with me, and I will make you a partaker of my divine nature. And you, well, I'm getting way ahead. Diligence. To be diligent is to be steadfast, earnest, energetic, active, and engaged. Some days we don't want to be diligent. We get up of a morning, or maybe we've come in. I don't know when your time is with. Mine is of a morning with the Lord. And like it's 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30. And I really love, that's why I wish He'd give us more fall weather down here. Because I really love fall. And you go out of the mornings, like this morning, it's about 54 degrees. And it's a bright, clear sky with some stars and a little moonlight, and you go out and pray right then, and it's crisp and you feel good. That's a whole lot better than mornings in August when it's still 90 degrees outside and your sweat's dripping off of you. That's not the anointing. That's just, it's just, oh, sometimes I'm like, Lord, more fall weather, please. Our daughter's in Canada right now. It's supposed to have been 27 below yesterday, so I don't want that. I'm not looking for that. But He said, be diligent, be steadfast, earnest, active, engaged. We got to get engaged with Lord and take the time to detoxify our mind, to bring our thoughts captive. Romans 12, James 1:27. Just turn back a page or two to James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and then here, listen to this, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The Lord gave that to me a few weeks ago. He said, I want you to begin to unspot yourself from the world. And I'm like, okay. He said, I didn't say be a hermit. He said, I don't want you to totally be reclusive. He said, what I want you to do, though, is pay attention to what you're allowing into your life so that you can get unspotted for some of these things, so that you're able to hear my voice much more clear. Guys, there's people that your gifts and callings have made room for you to be in front of. That God's anointed and appointed you to bring them into the kingdom, to set them free, to deliver them. I don't care what you think right now. You've been appointed and anointed for such a time as this. And God's called you. Corey and Howdy and Ricky and all the ones that speak into your life that stand up here and speak. Jesus said He sent them to teach you so that you can do the work of the ministry. Not so they can do the work of the ministry, so you can do the work of the ministry. Because, it's like when Jesus left, and if we go to the book of Acts of 1 and 2 and talking about the beginning, when Jesus told the apostles, He said, you go to Jerusalem and you wait, because I'm sending you another comforter. and with, that will empower you to preach the gospel, okay? So he was sending someone because Jesus was going to be with the Father. And even when Jesus was here on earth, he couldn't be everywhere at one time. That's why you got. That's why you come in here to get you get prepared to do the work of the ministry, because Corey and Ricky and Howdy, and now Howdy's in school. He's touching a bunch. But where you are, where you and I are every day, we're in contact with human beings that need to become children of the Most High God. They need to get detoxified. They need to get set free. And you and I have the answer. And in order to know how to share with them, in order to know, then we need to spend that time alone with God, praying in the Holy Ghost, and get decluttered, get detoxified, get the junk out. We got a lot of stuff there. I'm going to tell you what, I did, because we got a lot of rodeo friends on Facebook, and so it's really fun to keep up with them. It's been over 2 months, and I had no desire to pick it up. And God said, you lay that down for you. Now, that's me personally. You pray and have to do what God tells you to do. I'm not. You know, some of y'all use it as a very good tool. I wasn't doing anything beneficial. I just looked at it. And then I'll tell you what else he showed me was, there's friends of mine that I've known forever that put things on there that I'm thinking, I'm beginning to get a little judgmental and critical of them. You know, maybe I need to just not do that. So I don't. That's for me, okay? You do what God tells you to do. Don't take what someone else is, God's telling someone else to do, and try to apply it to your life, because you're a different individual. You've been cut out of a different mold for a different reason, and so don't try to copy Ricky. Don't try to copy Lori. Don't try to copy Corey. You just be who God created you to be. Because as Ephesians 2:10 said, you are His workmanship. If you're born again into the kingdom of heaven, and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew for good works that God has prepared for you to walk in. Say, Lord, I'm going to walk in my good works. That'd be fun. Man, that's a perfect place to be. That's when things get to be fun. You get to be doing what God, you know, just like a few years ago, would you have thought being back in school would be that much fun? And I'm going to tell you what, to get to sit and visit with Howdy right now, it is a joy. It is uplifting, because he is right where God would have him to be. And he's enjoying it. Even on the day, I mean, when he's sharing ways of getting by when they frustrate him. And it's just good. It's good. We've got to, when you're where God would have you to be, it's fun. And each one of us is His workmanship recreated to fill that spot. But what we got to do is detoxify, declutter, get the junk out, so that we can really become partakers of the divine nature of Christ. Okay? Are y'all okay with this? Proverbs 12:2 says, Romans 12:2, I'm sorry. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Y'all know this. I mean, I'm not giving you anything today you don't know. We got to be refreshed. We got to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. Okay, we got to take authority and walk in that God has given us. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We choose not to be conformed, but to be transformed. Then what we do is, we go get with God, we pray in the Holy Ghost, we spend time alone with God, and He transforms us. And our thought patterns change, and our desires change. Because I want to tell you what, I love that scripture. Everybody likes that scripture, that commit your way unto the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, when you first read that for the first time, when you're a baby Christian, you think, hot dog, especially if you as a rodeo cowboy, hot dog, I'm going to make the national final. That's a desire of my heart, Lord. And then 20 years later, it's like, well, somewhere I missed something there. That didn't happen. No. God gives us desires, and then He wants to nurture and manifest those desires through us. What we got to do is yield up to our and forget about the selfish part, and say, Lord, I'm yours to command. And just like Howdy, I'm going to go back to Howdy. He's over there in a spot. God's given him the desires of his heart. Howdy loves kids, junior high kids no less. He loves junior high kids, and he's in there amongst them ministering. Do you know the changes he's making in their life and the things that are happening because he's been obedient? And he's been willing. You can tell he's willing. You know, a lot of times, me and Laurie and Ricky, we've talked about this. It's one thing to be obedient. It's another to be willing and obedient. But we can do it. We can do it. You and I, we do all things, Philippians 4, through Christ, which strengthens me, 13, through which strengthens me. Not who strengthens me, which strengthens me. Because you see, I do all things through Christ. Christ is the anointing which strengthens me. You've been strengthened. You and I have been strengthened with the anointing of Jesus. We can do all those works Jesus did and more because he's gone to the Father and he's given us a whole bunch of us out there to accomplish the things that he didn't have time to get to before he went to the Father. And he's saying, come on, guys. You know, this is where you're going to have fun. Think about it as fun. This is where you're going to have fun. I was in a situation a few years back on a ranch deal. And my time was about to expire, but I was not being very willing at the time. I was being obedient, staying there, but my willingness was not very high. And one day I'm complaining as I left there, and I said, Lord, my time's up here. I've done what I was supposed to do, and it's time to move on, and I'm really tired of being here. I'm not enjoying it much. And he said, you need to shut up and enjoy where I got you because I need you here right now. And I mean, he was very blunt. I mean, I've really felt that. He said, I have you right where I need you to be. Now, you help this man until I release you. And I'm like, yes, sir. And it wasn't very long, Mr. Austin, I was released. But once I became willing, it was easier to be obedient. And it was enjoyable. And, you know, it was okay. Because when you know that you're where God would have you to be, even when it's not fun, you get this peace and this contentment that only comes from the Holy Spirit, and it comes from being obedient. And so when we declutter and detoxify our minds, we can hear the Holy Spirit. We're wondering a lot of times, why am I where I'm at? Well, we're not listening. Don't get condemned under it. Don't put yourself under condemnation. But I mean, it's all, you know, we got a lot of distractions, y'all. There's a lot of things going on in this world today that I don't know how people keep up. I mean, they're so distracted with so many different things that they think are important. And when you let go of them and get away from them for a little while, you realize you really don't miss it. It's like, gee, there's a lot more peace here. You've really turned loose of something, hadn't you? Because you got a glow about you that it's really registering. And he's wanting to really pour out some things on you. And so just open up and let him do it. Okay. Out of Romans 12:2, of not being conformed to this world, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. It's fun to be in the middle of God's center of God's will, because there's peace and contentment, and things are getting accomplished, and you're fulfilling that destiny that he's called us each one to, and we enjoy it. And when you enjoy something, you have joy. You're able to let that joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, if we're enjoying being where God would have us to be, then that joy, it strengthens us, and we're able to get it done, and we're able to do it the way God would have for us to do it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Just over a couple pages, 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 17 through 7:1 here. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Turn it over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A lot of the things that are besetting us are not sin. It's just weights we've put on ourselves by taking on stuff that we didn't need to take on. And he said, lay that aside. That's another one of them verbs. You know, it's another one of them things where it takes action. It takes diligence. It takes some discipline. You know, discipline, I mean, from the time we start in kindergarten or grade school now or whatever, discipline's not a fun thing. And we grow up rejecting discipline. And God's saying, you discipline yourself. He said, we got to discipline ourselves. Life's a discipline. We're never going to get out of it. We're constantly going to have to be disciplined in ourselves to come under the authority of our King and of our Lord and Savior. We're going to have to choose. That's discipline. Choosing the right thing is discipline. And I won't lie to you, I've been a rebellious individual a great deal of my life. My wife will testify to that. My kids would probably testify to that. You know, when I want to do something, I just didn't do it, Ricky. And I think back on some of the experiences in my life to where it was bad, Miss Ross. I mean, I was just rebellious. I wasn't fixing to go to prison. Not kind of rebellious. Just not, you know, you're not choosing the things that will actually help you. You know, it's like we got to learn to yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We got to detoxify. We got to declutter. We got to get alone with God. We got to practice that art of being alone with God so that we know His voice. We cannot obey a voice we do not know. And so we just want to practice hearing His voice. Several years ago, Crystal, she's been here. A lot of y'all have heard Crystal preach. Well, how many of y'all ever heard Oop Schroner? Any of y'all ever heard Oop? He was a prophet from out at Midland. And really cool guy. You remember him, Kenny? And Oop was a bulldozer man. He wasn't very tall, but he was pretty wide. And he liked bulldozers and 454 Chevy engines. But he said he was sharing with Crystal one day about practicing hearing from the Lord. And she said, well, how do you practice more? You know, what can I do to practice more hearing from the Holy Spirit? And he told her, he said, well, you live out there in the hill country. He said, while you're driving, he said, when you're coming up on a hill, ask the Lord what color car is coming over that hill next. And she said, that sounds like guru stuff. And he said, what's a guru? And he said, Crystal, just ask him what color car's coming over. He said, it isn't going to matter if you get it right or wrong. But he said, the first color that comes to mind, you know, just take it that color. And he said, what you're going to do is practice hearing the voice of the Lord. And pretty soon, you're getting it right. I do these little things watching television. When I watch Wheel of Fortune. Literally, when I watch Wheel of Fortune, Ricky, when it gets to the end for the bonus round, they've got three choices now, you know, like event or something. So they'll, and what's that guy's name, Pat Sajak or whatever, he says, so you have three choices, you're going to choose one of these categories, and before they have a chance, I pick me a category. And you know what, most of the time, I mean, for a long time, I get it right every time. And I'm not doing that other than to practice hearing the voice of the Lord. Little things. Do little things. Practice hearing the voice of the Lord. But number one is, first you got to spend time alone with Him. You got to get alone with Him. And I really encourage you to study the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you're not there yet. And if you are, begin to practice. Use the tools. If you don't use the tools, what are we going to do? God's saying, use the tools. I'm going to try to speed up here a little bit, Howdy. Hebrews 12:1. Oh, we went through choose life. I'm going to just give you a couple scriptures instead of turning to every one of them. But Isaiah 64:4 says, God acts for those who wait for Him. You know, He's saying all throughout eternity, all throughout time, God acts. He moves on behalf of those who wait, not sit and wait still, who wait on the Lord in the sense of pursuing Him. Okay, who wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint. And, you know, we're going to mount up, we're going to go forth. We're going to produce something there. Okay? This is one of my most favorite ones. Proverbs 13:23 says, there's much provision in the fallow ground of the poor. And when God first showed me that scripture, He said, I looked up fallow. Well, fallow is uncultivated. Okay? So He said, you have much provision in your uncultivated ground. You've not cultivated all that I've given you. You're not keeping the weeds out. You're not keeping the clutter out. He's saying, detoxify. Declutter your life. Lay aside the weights and the sins that are besetting you, because there's much provision in your uncultivated ground. Cultivate that relationship with the Lord and provision increases. He said, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, I've given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Well, if we don't spend time there, how are we going to know? Use the tools. We got to use the tools God gave us. We got to encourage one another in it. We got to lift each other up in it. You know, give someone a smile throughout the day. You know, lift them up so you get a little bit of that back. We reap what we sow. We sow time with God, gives us time for things to do. We start so enjoying what we're doing, because God just, He ordered, when it says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, well, how come? Because a man is a righteous man is in right standing with God. And he's doing things, as we read in Matthew 6:33 at the very beginning. This, you know, first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way of doing things. So if we're doing things His way, He's ordered. We're in the right place at the right time. We're surrounded with the favor of God with a shield, and no weapon formed against us can prosper. That's our right and privilege, but we've got to, He said, you choose. I've made bad choices. I've repented for a lot of those bad choices, but I've also paid the consequences for a lot of those bad choices. You know, we can stop that. God said, you know what? And I was visiting with Him last night or this morning about, I really wasn't so much visiting with Him. I was just thinking about something that concerning me. And He said, you know what? If you let go of that, I can put it right back like it was when you didn't have it. He said, if you'll just turn loose of some of those things, you know. He said, it's not a big deal for me to bring it right. He said, I can fix it immediately. It's not a big deal. He said, you just need to turn loose and not harbor it. So don't let the enemy invade your mind. Really, practice bringing every thought captive. Think. Choose to think on those things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, and bear with each other. We all got a long ways yet to go. We don't know how much longer before Jesus comes back, so we need to tend to business. We need to be diligent, steadfast, pursuing what God would have for us to pursue. Are y'all okay with that? You're even going to like it more in a minute. We honor God. Oh, Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly. We all know that scripture. Come boldly before the throne of grace. God's saying, come expecting. God loves it when we expect Him to move on our behalf. He said, come boldly. Come up here like you expect me to help you. When we love it when our kids, you know, especially when they were little. Now, they get to be teenagers, you think about it a little differently. But that when they come running to you boldly, you know, knowing that you're going to give them what they desire. You know, you just have so much, especially grandparents, you get to give them things and then send them home, and mom and dad can deal with the other consequences. When they get to be teenagers and they know better, you say, go work for it yourself, you know, kind of thing. But God's saying, I want you to pursue me. And when we come boldly to the throne of grace, say, Lord, I need some help. He said, I got it. And we spend that quality time and we pray in the Holy Ghost and we get along with God and he begins to show us, go fix that leak. And if you'll fix that one, I'm going to show you where the big one is that's causing the most problems. But you got to fix the little one first before you can get to the big one. So I want to put all these things in order in your life. Okay, I'm going to pull her down. I just want to give you the benefits, okay? The benefits of spending time alone with God, decluttering, detoxifying, is revelation knowledge, number one. Perfect, exact knowledge of every situation and circumstance we encounter. Number two is boldness and confidence. We become bold. When we watch God move on our behalf because we've been diligent, because we've decluttered, because we've detoxified, because we've spent time with Him, we get bold. We believe. Number three, sure success. We escape corruption. God will make sure our steps are ordered and we're in the right place at the right time. It's sure success. Number four, grace and peace. We trade our knowledge about God for knowledge of God. Knowing Him multiplies grace and peace in our lives. God gives us the desires of our heart, and these as a result of our relationship with Him. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, favor, joy, the whole deal. I encourage you, detox, you know, let God begin to, He said, you know, you do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He said, don't yield to the way, this world's way of doing things. Seek God's way of doing things. Because we've got decisions to make, responsibilities. You're an important child in the kingdom of God. You're an important member of the household of faith. Whether you see yourself as that right now or not, you're fixing to start seeing yourself that way, because I've sowed seed in your life today that will not return void. I'm believing with all my heart that you receive in the Word. And I'm expecting. I ain't going to quit expecting. I don't care what you're... I'm going to tell you what. All of y'all's... it's just fun. I'm just so receptive. And it's just so much fun. Now, I want to do something. I don't know y'all. I don't come here all the time. There's visitors here. You know, I want you to think about this. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You know, and we've all sinned. In Romans, it tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so, Jesus came. God sent Jesus to buy our relationship with Him back so we can become back into the kingdom, back as heirs of Christ. And so, you know, our first step is to make Jesus the Lord of our life. We can't access all we've talked about today without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit abiding in us, without us saying yes to the Lord, saying, Father God, I realize that you got a purpose for my life, and that Adam and Eve gave that away and stole it from me, you know, but Jesus bought it back, and I want it back because I want to fulfill my destiny and walk worthy of that vocation you called me to. So I'm going to ask us all, if we'll bow our heads and close our eyes, I'm going to ask you a question. And we're all going to pray. Let's pray this prayer together. Everyone with every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, thank you today for Jesus. And I realize right now that Jesus wants to be my Savior. So Father God, I recognize Him. I call on you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Cleansing me from all unrighteousness. I choose you as Lord and Savior. I give you my life. And I receive you. And I want to walk in the life you created for me. So thank you for coming and being my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now every head bowed and every eye closed. If you accepted Christ today, you know in your heart that today was the day. You've never done that before. I want you to raise your hand for me right quick. And just so we know, we want to give you something. If there's anybody in here, I got a Bible or packet. Okay, y'all look up. Everybody in here is saying they're saved or they didn't make the choice today, but we thank the Lord. I want to thank y'all so much. Y'all are so much fun. You need to pat yourselves on the back and know how much fun you are, and that you're so important to Jesus, and that God's brought you here and partnered you with Corey and Jamie and this body, and y'all are our partners together, and you're doing a work in this area, in this community, and throughout the United States as they go, as Ricky and Laura go, and at the school now. I mean, you're all a part. So spend that time with God every day, and don't let the devil condemn you for stuff that you think, well, I'm not doing my part. You just spend time with God, and some days, you know what? He may tell you, you need to rest today, just enjoy yourself. Yeah, every day doesn't have to be labor, you know, but he wants you to know you're important, and he loves you, and he's created you to fill a spot in this body, and you're an important part in the body. So thank y'all for letting me minister with you and share with you, and I'll give it back to Hallie. Thank you.
I figured out why, while he was talking, that the weather in Texas is the way it is. And it's because my prayers have been canceling out yours. I've been praying for heat. He's praying for cold. We got the snow angel and the heat angel arguing all the time over whether we bring a norther or a southern. Because I'm one of those detox guys, and sweat to me is detox. We got the snow angel and the heat angel. They can't figure out what, guys, I got Rusty praying for cold, got Howdy praying for the heat. Because you know, in Texas, we can't make up our minds whether we want it to be hot or cold. You know, if we really want it to be hot all the time, we'd all just move to Florida. Because you know they ain't praying for winter down there. And here, we can't make up our mind. We love ranching and all that and being around cows and everything, but we got to deal with the hot and the cold. So God finally just gave up on Texas and said, you know what? I'll just do whatever I want. I'll just bring heat this week. I'll make it rain in the middle of winter, and I'll make it snow on Easter. I've seen it snow on Easter, and it snowed like an inch. It was probably 10, 12 years ago. I was in Brownwood, and it snowed on Easter. Lots of snow, and just a little bit. It snowed. So I figure I'm a detox guy. I like to sweat, so quit praying for that cold weather. Okay? But by the way, I agree with Rusty. You are a very receptive group. I love to watch your faces when I'm up here ministering. I'm like, you know, I see like this, and I see like this, and I see people flipping through pages. You know, I love to watch the expressions. Because it means you're learning. You know, people are changing and trying to figure out stuff. And when we talk about things you've never heard of, you know, you want to make those faces. My kids do it all the time when I'm teaching. They're like, what? And that's when they're listening to me, of course. When I got their attention, get them all, come back to me. I always have to say that. All right, come back. And then, you know, we've got in middle school, every teacher has their own get back to me, I'm trying to talk cue. Some people do the two claps and a Ric Flair. If you don't know what that is, that's a woo! That's how you get them back. You get two claps and a Ric Flair. Some people just hold up their hand. Mine is just, yeah, 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 yeah. Like I'm herding cats. So that's on Mondays. Tuesday, it might be a different cue. But with all that being said, Rusty's exactly right. You're giving. Your ability to give, and there's not many churches that talk about giving. There's not. There's not many churches that talk about sin. There just isn't. But your giving is very important. You have to remember that when you're giving, it's not for me. It's not for the preacher. It's not for this church. This church will go on with or without your money. If God wants it to be here, it's going to happen. You can't stop it. You cannot stop or outgive God, just like he said. You cannot outgive him. And God wants to. And if you're one of those people where God's trying to get you to up your percentage, it ain't because we're trying to get money from you. It's because God wants to bless you. He wants to take you to a new level. So you're giving to Corey or whoever you feel led to give to, you're going to be blessed in heaven because there's going to be people walking up to you in heaven saying, because you gave to Corey, he was able to go preach in Dallas, New Mexico, and I got saved that day. You know, there are going to be people walking up to you saying, you know, you were responsible. You helped make that happen. So we are, you know, we're very thankful for your giving. I am so glad that I'm a part of a church where I can talk about giving and hell and sin and Jesus all in the same sentence, and people don't get upset or offended. It is an honor to preach in that kind of church, because there's a lot of churches, when you go to them, they'll tell you, don't talk about Jesus, don't talk about tongues, don't talk about money. We don't want you talking about that stuff. There's people, Trey Johnson, he's got, you know, at the minister's conference last year, remember? He said he's gone to churches where they told him not to say anything about that stuff. And he's like, well, how do I even preach if the boss ain't even there? If I can't even bring my boss, how can I even preach? So it is an honor to be a part of a giving church. And with all that said, if you'd like to give to Rusty, it's he paid your fees, right? So H-P-Y-F. If you'd like to write a check, it's H-P-Y-F. It stands for he paid your fees. If you'd like to write a check, or if you'd like to give cash, get one of the offering envelopes, write your name on it, put your address. He can get you a tax receipt at the end of the year. So, but this bucket right here is specifically for Rusty. If you want to turn in tithes and offerings for whatever, just do that over here if you haven't done that yet. But if you want to bless Rusty directly and give to his ministry, right here is the bucket, okay? So, with all that being said, again, thank you guys. If you're visitors here, thank you for coming. We're honored that you came today. So thankful for Rusty and Kathy. Thank you guys. Y'all clap for them one more time. So glad that you guys are a part of our family. I'm telling you, it's fun being a part of a cowboy family because it's so raw. There's no worrying about stepping on people's toes. There's no worrying about offending. It's just tell it like it is. And there ain't no better group of people to be a part of than cowboys. I'm telling you right now. You don't have to wear a belt buckle either. You can just be a part. We take in anybody. We'll take anybody. Bikers, whoever. But if you're visiting here, we're so honored that you came. We hope that, you know, if you're looking for a church, you know, we hope you make this your church. If not, find the one that fits you. Find the one that fits what you believe or where you feel led and God called you to be. Okay? So with all that being said, if you'd like to give to Rusty after we dismiss right here, this is his bucket right here. Okay? If you need prayer, you need anything, you know, don't feel obligated just to get out of here just because we're dismissing. The doors are there for you to exit, but you can exit whenever you want to. Right? So if you need prayer, come up. Rusty, Kathy, anybody, come up and pray for you. Just come on up, okay? Y'all stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Do we have any announcements specifically? Okay, yeah. Bible study Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. Abundant grace. Do you realize the grace that's upon you? I'm not even going to go there. I got to stand here and talk all day. Anyway, Tuesday night, if you'd like to be a part of Bible study, it's a different setting. It's almost like a class setting where you have a teacher and you can ask questions, and it's not somebody just standing up there preaching to you, you know. So you can ask questions. There's a 40 and under group, and there's a 41 and over group. We meet in two different places. They fellowship for, you know, 30 minutes or so, and then we split up. So if you feel led to come to that, you know, it's a great opportunity to get, and also to get to know your you know, people that go to church here. It's a great opportunity to meet so-and-so that you've seen every week and you don't even know their name. You've been wanting to shake their hand, but they keep leaving as soon as the church is over. So this is a great opportunity. Bible study is fun. I used to teach it, and it was a lot of fun. And I can remember when there was one there, and I can remember when there was 20 or 30 there. But we preach it, man. We talk it. We have a great time in there. And the food's great. Amen? So that being said, let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for who you are. We love you and thank you for being with us. You don't just come to church when we come to church. You actually are with us daily, and you put your angels around us to protect us when we travel or when we're just in, you know, around in the public places. You set up divine appointments for us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for blessing our mouth so that we can say the right things at the right time to the right person that needs to hear it. We thank you for changing our hearts and changing our minds and detoxifying us and making us who we are. I thank you, Lord, for cleansing us and sending your sending Jesus to die for us and sending your Holy Ghost when he left to be with us every single day, even when we're sleeping. Father, I love you and thank you so much for the people that are here. I thank you for blessing them as they leave today. And we love you and we honor you today because you're worthy of honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. We'll see you later. Thanks again for coming.